Welcome to At the CR Quick Chat, conversations with community managers and social media practitioners. My name is Jim Storer, and I'm a principal at the Community Roundtable, a peer network for community managers and social media practitioners. You can find more about us at community-roundtable.com. Now on to the podcast.
Hi, this is Rachel Hoppe with the Community Roundtable, and I am here with Stuart Matter. He's a wiki expert and very skilled at helping companies deploy and figure out social software. And we're here to talk about social software pilots, which is an interesting little niche among the whole kind of deployment management field of social software, but it's an important one, and it's one that people are doing a lot of these days because people are starting a lot of these initiatives. So I'm really excited to kind of hear what Stuart has to say. And Stuart, if you want to introduce yourself and kind of kick off the topic, that'd be great.
Thanks, Rachel. As Rachel said, I've been working with a range of organizations for the past 7-8 years, starting in higher ed and then broadening out into a combination of commercial, you know, corporations and small and medium enterprises and universities. And the universal thing that I work on with these organizations is social software adoption. And the question of pilots comes up from time to time, and the what is the value of them?
And there's been this meme recently about is there value, since part of the value of social software is the network effect, why don't we just blast it out there, is basically the topic of the meme as I understand it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's been the most recent flare-up. And, you know, the post that I think started it was Michael Eatonopoulos from Social Text wrote what I thought was a very provocative post and very well written. And he asked the question, well, should we just jettison pilots? Is it better to launch these tools and go to full scale as quickly as possible and essentially use that strategy or that tactic as a way to embed the tool as quickly as possible? And, you know, it sparked a very interesting conversation. It even sparked some broader discussion of, well, what is the meaning and value of the so-called Enterprise 2.0 category of tools and techniques and so forth?
Yeah, and to me, it seems like there may be a case where you might want to do that, depending on kind of what it is, meaning, you know, Facebook for the enterprise, that type of deployment where it's more attached to your directory than anything else, that may not need a pilot. Although you bring up some valid points in the post you wrote, which is there's still always the technical glitches that you're never entirely sure how that works within your IT environment. So
I think you're right about something like Facebook for the enterprise or social networking tying into a directory. I think that when there's an obvious use case for a tool, and really a single, fairly universal use case for a tool, a pilot is probably going to be less valuable in that case. I still argue the point that for technical reasons, you may want to get the tool out and have a small group of people test it just to make sure there are no show-stopping kinks. For something like a social networking tool where you basically want people to put up a profile and the universal thing people are going to do is fill out a profile and follow other people, yeah, you're not going to, the use case side of running a pilot really isn't going to apply there. But, you know, conversely, when you're looking at a tool like a wiki or, you know, an internal collaboration or knowledge sharing tool, the expectation is that you want as many different teams and groups and departments across the organization to use it. And based on the nature of the work of all these different groups, their use cases are going to be different. Then I think you have a stronger case for a pilot because you need to identify what those use cases are. And some things about those use cases are going to be similar. Some things about them, there are going to be certain what I call immutable laws of using the tool. But certain things are going to be very particular to your organization and your organization's culture and the way that people are used to working.
Can you give me some examples of some of the maybe strangest problems people have come up against? As a manager, I deployed using a wiki internally, and so I have my own impression of what that took, but I'd be interested in hearing your kind of experience with some of the things that have been really unexpected.
Sure. I'll give you a couple different ones. One that comes to mind, this was a couple of years ago when I was working with a university. One of the major questions that came up from faculty was, well, if we start developing curriculum materials using this tool, who owns it? And there was a reluctance to use the tool because they were fearful that, do I lose ownership of my materials? And that was something that emerged as a question during the pilot. And the way that we addressed that was to write it into the policy that if a faculty member left the university, they could take all the material they developed with them and use it elsewhere. In other words, it wasn't being exclusively owned by the university. However, if they left the university could keep a copy of the material that they had developed, the curriculum they developed, and whoever was hired as the new person to teach those courses could continue using that material as a basis for their own work.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, so that was an example where, and that, you know, I give that example from higher ed, but I've also run into a very similar scenario in the corporate world where there's a question of intellectual property and who owns what you create and how much of what you create is yours and how much of what you create is the organization's. In some organizations, you know, that policy is very strict and set in stone that anything you create on work hours belongs to the organization. In other places, it's a little bit more fluid, especially in journalistic organizations. News organizations, it tends to be a little bit more along the lines of what you write, you own, but what you write for your organization has some level of distribution and syndication rights that are necessary to the course of day-to-day business, but also necessary for that organization to have an archival body of knowledge. So, you know, these kinds of questions come up in every type of organization, and one of the valuable things about identifying that as an issue during the pilot when you have, say, 50 or 100 people using the tool, and those 50 or 100 people understand going in that as part of the bargain of getting to use the system before everyone else and getting to test it out, they're going to have to help identify these issues and help construct.
That's a really interesting point, because the content development is just so much more fluid, and it's never kind of complete in the same way it was in these very formal content management systems where you had an editing process and then you had a very formal point at which it was published and you could tell what was draft and what was not. And that's part of what I've run into just kind of in the workflow process of using a wiki. Part of what I ran into is people weren't ever sure when they should be commenting on somebody else's work. And that's a real cultural thing that you kind of have to work through, which is it running comments through that type of thing? Or is there a point at which the author, whether you're using blogs or wikis or whatever, says, okay, I'm ready for comment.
Exactly. Right. And those are the types of issues that it's really valuable to work out at least a basic procedure for those things, that when you start to grow the tool into wider deployment, you have answers to those questions because they will come up. Other people will ask those questions. And part of deploying tools like this is teaching people how to use them. Part of it is getting people comfortable with the idea of using a tool that is somewhat different from what they're used to. I feel that sometimes the evangelist side of the software world, and disclaimer, I was a software evangelist at one point in my career, but one of the things that sometimes drives me nuts about the typical evangelist mentality in the tech world is everything is touted as a revolution, and everything is touted as changing the world. And when you're working in an organization, most people don't want their world changed every 6 months by a new software tool.
Yeah, I was going to say, revolution's fine unless you're on the receiving end of it.
Well, exactly, and too many revolutions becomes a cliche. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been at conferences with, and I'm going to call them out here and say I've been at conferences with Google employees who will get up and at some point in their introduction of themselves, they'll say that they want to change the world. And my BS detector goes off when I hear that. And I'm not saying that as a negative thing toward Google. I'm saying that more as a point of, that works well to say it within the confines of the tech world. It doesn't work so well when you're in an organization. It's just people aren't as comfortable with that. What they want is to understand how a new tool fits into an existing business process and how specifically it can fix a weak point in a business process.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, when they ask you a question like these questions of intellectual property or these questions of how and when to use the tool, the last thing you want to do is be caught off guard and not have an answer to that question, because that will affect their confidence in using the tool.
I feel like part of the reason you pilot too is I know large organizations, and what you really don't want to do is fail big, because it will be years before you have another chance to even try. And when you're introducing anything that's a little different or a little new, it has the potential of, and I don't want to say fail, but like if people don't know how to use it, and all of a sudden everybody has access to it, but you can't keep up with the training demands of getting people used to it, then it's not going to be adopted. Well, and you end up failing from kind of the executive sponsorship perspective, and that's not really good for anybody.
I completely agree with there, because if you fail big, you have two problems. One, you have the problem of employees are, you put a bad taste in people's mouths. They're not going to look at the next tool favorably for a long time. And number two, you're not going to get executive sponsorship, both in terms of their message of encouragement out to employees or the financial side of it. You're not going to get funds for the project to buy the software you need and, you know, to bring in the training resources and so forth. It's just not going to work. And so, you know, I hear this notion of, well, it's good to, you know, it's good to transform corporate culture into the culture where people are comfortable with failing fast and failing quickly in order to learn how to make things work well. But the reality is people are only comfortable with the notion of failing fast and failing quickly once they're already comfortable with that. You can't introduce failure on day one.
So I want to keep this podcast relatively short, but can you leave us with maybe, you know, 3 to 5 things that people should consider when they're thinking about doing a social software pilot? What are the most important things to think about?
Absolutely. Number one is to not introduce failure on day one. And that's and bringing in a pilot with a small number of people who understand explicitly that their role is to help you ferret out problems, both technical glitches that they find and procedural questions that come up in their own minds, which are likely to come up all across the organization as the tool is rolled out more widely. Number two, when you have that initial group of people using the software early, you want to make sure that you don't only construct that group out of early adopters. You want to have people in there who are not avowed enthusiasts and early adopters, but people who are generally comfortable with the technology and willing to experiment with the new tool. And because the value of those people is greater than early adopters. Often early adopters inside organizations get dismissed as just that, these people who are too far on the cutting edge to understand the everyday issues. Number three is, as you run the pilot, it's really important to keep track of the issues that come up, the technical issues that come up, so that those things can be resolved. I wrote an article a few weeks ago about the whole issue of pilots and technical issues. And a reporter for a website called IT Business Edge, a woman by the name of Ann Hall, wrote a follow-on article to mine, and she commented that the wiki deployment in her organization hadn't initially gone as well as they'd hoped, and the reason she cited was there was a glitch with logins. It wasn't working properly for people, and that was a showstopper. People just really didn't pay that much attention to the tool, because if you're not able to log in, number one, you're not able to see the tool and get excited about it and start thinking about what you might do with it, and number two, you're not going to have confidence in going back to use that tool.
Right. And you've got one chance to impress people.
Exactly. First impressions count. And I applauded her for sharing that story in her article, because sharing that, you know, she obviously recognized what, and the organization recognized what they needed to do, and she went on and explained how they dealt with that and to get things a little more on track. And so I bring that up as an example to organizations. You don't want to have that kind of technical issue. You don't want to have a wonderful system ready to go and have an issue as small as logins deterring employees from using it. And then number four is, from that pilot group of people that are using your tool, one of the long-lasting benefits that you get is if those people are impressed with the tool and what they're able to do with it. Not with, you know, and this is where you don't have to worry. With your pilot group, when technical glitches come up, they understand that technical glitches are, that's their job to find them from day one. When you're done with the pilot and you begin to go into larger deployment, if those people are, on the whole, satisfied with what they've been able to do with the tool, they're going to go out and help you do your job of informing others in the organization about the tool. And I often say when I'm inside working with organizations, a lot of technology adoption happens at the lunch table. People get together with their buddies for lunch. Somebody talks about some annoying problem they're having getting some project done. And if somebody from your pilot group happens to be sitting in that group at lunch and says, oh, you know, there's this new tool available. I've been using it as part of this pilot group. It's really helped. You know, I've got a similar kind of business process. Here's how we've used the tool. That person is now going to be interested in that tool. And they're going to
The infection model.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And I appreciate you taking some time with us. And where can people find you online?
Futurechanges.org is my main website. And I also spend a little bit of time on Twitter from time to time at twitter.com/SLMADER.
And you just recently posted about this topic, too. So if people want more information, there is a post about this. And we thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rachel.
Thanks for joining us today on At the CR Quick Chat, conversations with community managers and social media practitioners, sponsored by the Community Roundtable. That's community-roundtable.com. Also, special thanks to Kit Seaborg and the team at bumpertunes.net for providing the music in this podcast. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to check in next week for the next At the CR Quick Chat. Have a great day.